May I emphasize that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is as close to you as your nearest telephone. It belongs to you. It seeks to be your protector in all matters within its jurisdiction. However, if a member of your family is threatened with kidnapping and you keep it a secret, all the law enforcement agencies in the world cannot aid you. But if you give proper notification immediately upon the receipt of a threat of kidnapping or extortion, the entire power and facilities of this bureau will be thrown into action to bring the culprits to justice.
Thomas Paine Podcast, Episode 4. There's so much to tackle, and I was so pissed off. You guys might get a real taste of me today. I've been really mellow the last three episodes, like trying to keep it cool, but I'm gonna fucking snap. What are we, 30 seconds in and I already dropped the first F-bomb? Yeah. So we open up the show with J. Edgar Hoover talking about two things. We should call the FBI if anybody in our family's kidnapped. And we should always call the FBI if phone is right nearby if something goes haywire. Let's check on J. Edgar Hoover again. And we'll talk about him a little bit. Let's see if we can play it again.
May I emphasize that the Federal Bureau of Investigation is as close to you as your nearest telephone. It belongs to you. It seeks to be your protector in all matters within its jurisdiction. However, if a member of your family is threatened with kidnapping and you keep it a secret, all the law enforcement agencies in the world cannot aid you. But if you give proper notification immediately upon the receipt of a threat of kidnapping or extortion, the entire power and facilities of this bureau will be thrown into action to bring the culprits to justice.
Oh, these guys are so full of shit. I think this was 1936. We pulled this from somewhere. This is 1936. It's like 100 years ago. Basically, give or take 16 years. But I think of Levinson, the guy has been in Iran for ages, former FBI guy. His family called the FBI and the CIA and the State Department when he got a little trip to Iran, got sidetracked, and no one has seen him since. They didn't help him out much. And then also, it's kind of ironic talking about the phones this week with Barr having a press conference yesterday with Bowditch, assistant deputy director of the FBI, saying, we need Apple to unlock these phones of these Saudi killers, of the Saudi killer who shot up a naval base, so we can figure out, you know, it's a danger to national security, and we need Apple to help us get unencrypted data because we need all cell phone providers out there and telecom companies. We need them to give us all their encrypted data too. Get the fuck out of here. The fuck do you guys think you're dealing with? These guys are so full of shit. It's past ridiculous, these guys. First of all, you let these guys in the country. These guys are terrorists. You let them in the country to begin with. State Department, FBI. You didn't researched these guys and their background. You gave them carte blanche on the U.S. Naval base to train with our guys, to train with our technology. The one guy snapped. He was radicalized. He snapped. Musev fucking Busev Muhammad, whatever his fucking name is, okay? He snapped, killed three good American boys. And now you're saying Apple's got to help you sort it out? You dumb motherfuckers. Are you for real? Is this for real? Or are we just being toyed with every day? Is there anybody out there with a brain left that believes a goddamn word these people say? This is past fucking ridiculous. My God, what the hell has happened to this country? Oh, man. We moved a story on True Pundit today. Okay, I talked to some... I'm fired up because I talked to some FBI guys and DOJ guys, and the outlook is very bleak. The things that they are covering up on a regular basis, now having to do specifically with the Clintons and the Clinton Foundation and this whole Huber bullshit. Now, I apologize for this many F-bombs. Kind of apologize because I'm new at podcasting, but I really don't give a shit what you guys think. You know, turn it off now if you don't want to hear the truth. Go watch fucking Fox and those liars on there. Give you a song and dance every night. Then they get driven home to their multi-million dollar mansions from lying to you. And you guys lap it up. Folks need to wake up out there, man. Telling you. You really need to wake up. It's part of the point of this whole thing I'm trying to do. But I tell you, I get frustrated too. Like a lot of other independent journalists are very frustrated trying to tell folks what's going on out here, man. It's not pretty. So, little fired up out of the gates. But you know what? You've had three other episodes where I was mellow and, oh, yeah, we got to do this. And that's part of me, too. I can be mellow, but I'm more effective, I think, as a writer, as a journalist, and just as a person overall, and I'm a little fired up and angry. So, a lot of things to talk about tonight. We're going to do that, I guess I should say today or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this, but... And I'll get to some plugs in a little bit. But for right now, we moved a story today saying the FBI told us that Apple cooperated with the feds, gave them all kind of data right after this airman, Saudi airman, killed U.S. soldiers. And I guess I'm getting a little bit ahead of the story. Yesterday, we moved the story saying that Barr, who is now officially on my shit list, it's taken him a little while. I've given this guy the benefit of the doubt time and time again, but now he's officially on my shit list. And he will be treated accordingly in True Pundit with coming stories. We gave him the benefit of the doubt, and he's blown it, in my opinion. And like I said, he'll be treated accordingly. But yesterday we moved a story that said the FBI has investigated this cabal of Saudi airmen, Saudi trainees at the naval air base in Pensacola where this lunatic killed three sailors and found that a number of them, I think it's between like 12 and 22 or something like that, a group of folks they brought over just to give them, you know, our intel and our training. I don't know what the hell we get back. I never could figure out what the hell we get back. It's not like we get free oil from these fucks. Found that these guys a number of them are radicalized, basically terrorists. And also, many of them were found with child pornography on their phones and their computers and their laptops. These are federal crimes. So Barr decides we're not going to charge any of these guys or indict them. Probably won't even charge co-conspirators that helped this guy and allegedly filmed the guy shooting three U.S. sailors. Probably piped it back home like Paddock was, or whoever was responsible for Las Vegas, had a live video feed. We did a story on that they were live feeding this somewhere offshore. Who knows what goes on with these sick people, but they're not going to charge these platoon of Saudi idiots that they let in the country, basically criminals and terrorists. Instead, they're just going to expel them like they, you know, skip school for 3 days. They're going to expel them from the country. And then Barr has the balls to go on TV and say that, and Bowditch from the FBI, and flanked by all these other fucking idiots and professional liars, has the balls to go and say, Apple's not helping us. Apple's not the problem, you dumb fucks. You are. You're the problem. You are the problem. I applaud Apple for not playing ball with these guys to a certain extent, but let's not kid ourselves. I ran and was a founder of a caller ID spoofing company a while back, 2004, 2005, called Star 38. The feds, they're crazy when it comes to telecom, mostly because they don't know what the hell they're doing. They're not very bright when it comes to this stuff, and they panic because they want backdoors into everything because they're not smart enough to figure out how to infiltrate the system or hack the system or hack an iPhone. So they say, well, you should give us access to everything. So we don't want to go through the trouble of figuring this out. We want to spy on everybody. We just don't want access to people who shoot up places and kill people. We want access to everybody so we can put it all in a database and figure out what they're up to. You know, some guy sends inappropriate pictures. We want that too, so we can use that against him or her or whatever down the road. This is their game. This is a protection racket. They're trying to get as much dirt on everybody as they can so they can use it against them, get their own way. Extortion, muscle. We've talked about that previously, and I've talked about it ad nauseum on my show on Patreon Tuesday nights, More Pain Show, 8 p.m. Anyway, so I guess I'll get into the story later about how they handled us as a telecom company. Like, you get a good inside knowledge, right? But there's just so much to talk about. But this guy has the gall, this Barr clown has the gall to go in front of the public and say, Apple's is slowing down the investigation into this Saudi guy. You know, he could have dangerous stuff on his iPhones. You think so? Really? Where the fuck were you guys at before this guy went nuts and killed more Americans? Why are these guys always too little, too late? If these guys were stockbrokers, their philosophy for investing would be in get in late and get out late. These guys are some of the dumbest bastards you'd ever want to come across. And when you work with them, you understand that these guys are not very bright. Put it lightly. And it's always everybody else's fault that they fucked up. Haven't we all worked with people like this? These people are perennial losers. It's somebody else's fault. Why doesn't he step up, Barr, and say, man, we really screwed up. Should check these guys out. These guys are kind of crazy. It's even worse than that. Then they find that these guys have porn, child porn on their computers, and a number of them are basically terrorists. Radicalized Muslim terrorists. And he says, you know, I think we'll just ask them to leave the country. This guy is like a dope. He's actually probably worse than Sessions, I think. When the final analysis is over, this guy is the cover-up artist and worse than Sessions. I think that's what's going to shake out. I'm probably way ahead of the curve again, but I think that's probably what's going to happen. Hey, if I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but I haven't had to apologize that much in 3 years now. And the reason I can say that with some definitive confidence is because I know everything that's going on behind the scenes that they haven't done and they haven't prosecuted. This Saudi trainee thing is just like the latest. That's like a speed bump compared to the other stuff that these guys are letting the elites in DC get away with. It's really maddening. And I be honest with you, I probably should have done a podcast yesterday because I think it was like a week. I was so mad yesterday. You think this is bad, like my opening 5 minutes was bad. I probably would have been tossed off of here yesterday. I was so mad the whole day. Even the guys I work with are like, yo, what's the matter with you? Why are you so mad? Because I'll tell you why I'm mad. Because I get calls from justice guys and from intel guys, and the stuff keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And a lot of that stuff's going to be coming out on True Pundit in the next weeks and the next months. It's so bad, folks. I'll tell you, it just, it brings you to your knees as a patriot to see what is going on with this country. And then for me, it's twofold. I get so frustrated because we can't get it through people's thick fucking heads that these people are completely out of control in the government. I'm like on a milk crate down here. No budget, no backing, very little support from the big dogs in the media that don't pick our stuff up, don't really want to tell people how it is. Trying to shout from my shitty mountaintop here that these people are crazy and dangerous and selling you out by the hour, not by the day or by the week. Now it's by the hour. And so it's twofold frustrating for me because I get a front row seat to the worst government corruption in the United States that we've ever seen. Number one. Two, I can't report on all of it because it's just so much. We can't handle everything, so we have to pick and choose. Three, I have nobody else to give it to that I trust that will report on it without trying to sell the information or the sources down the drain. And four, no one gives a shit anyhow. I mean, in the general scope of things, nothing changes. I'm not saying that the patriots out here don't give a crap. I think they do, obviously. We have a lot of great supporters, and I'm not trying to besmirch them, but who the hell's going to fix it? The problem are the gatekeepers. The key holders are the ones that are a problem. It's insane. So where does that leave us? We're just out here kind of floundering around like a bunch of fucking assholes. You know, I usually hit the applause button for the first F-bomb of the show, but I think the first F-bomb was like 30 seconds in and the music was still playing. And we'll have to skip the applause button this episode, but this is so much, folks, and it's so frustrating. I think you're as frustrated as I am. We're just little cats down here trying to tell people what's going on. We do have a hell of a sourcing, a hell of a network, a hell of a pipeline. It's got to drive these guys into government nuts. They know we know a lot of this stuff, and I know that they're probably jockeying behind the scenes like they always do. You can always tell on True Pundit when shit's about to hit the fan. I get kind of quiet. I don't tweet that much because I'm working behind the scenes on stuff. And then boom. The red siren comes out. Boom. Next day, red siren. Boom. Next day, red siren. Next week, two red sirens. Following week, three red sirens. And I'm all over the place. with major scoops, and the other folks in the media are just like, whoa, this guy is crazy. Where's he getting all this stuff from? Well, if you got off your fucking asses, you could get stuff too. It's not that hard. There are people out here who want to tell other folks what's going on in the government. It's not that hard as a journalist to develop sources. Just prove yourself as trustworthy. Prove yourself not to be a rat who's going to sell these guys out behind the scenes. Prove yourself that if you get leaned on, you'll tell the people leaning on you for your sources to go fuck themselves. And boom, next thing you know, it might take a couple years, but you can have good sources. Just don't be a rat. Like everybody else I used to work with, not everybody else, but I'd say 80% of the newsroom when I was in mainstream media were rats. We had people, you can't even believe this, we had something called a news budget at the newspaper at the Bergen Record, and it was public, it was in the tube, we called it the tube. I think the computers we had were called iTech, they were like these dinosaur computers, you probably saw them in movies like All the President's Men or whatever, but they were like these crazy computers, and you go in, and it was like a lot of DOS-driven and things, so you could go in and see different directories, and you pull up the news budget, and it would say like more. They had the front page news budget, it would say more, and my story, because they slotted these things like, yeah, this is a front page, this is a front page story. And when you're a reporter, you always want to shoot for the front page. That's like the big deal. That's what you're writing for. At least that's what I was writing for. And it's a more governor, more takes on state police, more takes on county prosecutor for corruption and blah, blah, blah. And it would give some, like, I don't know, two or three paragraphs about what the story is going to be about. And then the editors would get together twice a day and debate what goes where in the newspaper based on the budget. And then they had an evening meeting right before they started to cut up the paper and lay it out to say, okay, well, this story has developed since the 11 a.m. meeting, and Moore's got more stuff, and so this is going to top of A1, which is page one. This is going to top of A1. Moore's got all this stuff. Now, that's available all day long, and then we had actual reporters who were calling sources targets of the story and tipping them off. Yeah, Moore's going to have this tomorrow. So then I always waited. I was like kind of a sniper. I always waited to the last possible minute to light a fire and talk to the target of a story, because why would I want to tip them off, right? Most of them get tipped off anyhow that something's cooking, but, and then you get to these guys, you question them. It was my style to always either call them a couple hours before the story was going to run, or track them down, like go to their house, go to their office, literally the fucking Mike Wallace. Surprise, fool. I'm here. Even if they say no comment, then at least I had no comment. But they were already being tipped off by the people at the newspaper that I was coming. It's like a rat fest. You can't even make this up. So it's kind of a little side story. What Barr failed to tell you about his rant against Apple yesterday when he was flanked by these winged fools in the FBI is that this guy had two phones. This Mohammed Saudi guy had two phones. Okay, one he shot with a gun before he was killed. So the other one is a phone that's locked, right? So they're both phones that they found on the guy at the time. This is like, I think the shooting was December 5th or 6th or something like that. Now it's what? Middle of January. So Barr says Apple's not helping them get the intel from the phones, the gigs that are in the cloud and things like that on Apple Cloud. Slams Apple, says all telecom providers should help the FBI, blah, blah, blah. I mean, where have we heard this before, right? San Bernardino, when the FBI had a heads up about this guy and his wife being maniacs and did nothing, and then the guy killed more Americans. They killed more Americans at a Christmas party, and then the feds came in and said, why Apple won't help us with the cell phone? So they had to pay pay somebody, a contractor, I think it was well over $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, I think, to crack this cell phone. What is going on in the FBI? I know guys that can crack a cell phone. These guys can't crack a cell phone? Anyway, Apple came back today, and we moved the story saying the FBI agents we talked to said Apple has been cooperating. I don't know what these guys are talking about. In other words, the FBI rank and file is ratting out robots like Bowditch and also like Barr. They're saying, I don't know what these guys are talking about. Apple's been pretty good since we started hitting them with requests after the shooting. But then Apple came back today and basically echoed that what we were getting from the FBI. And Apple said, well, then they did not even ask for information on the second cell phone until January 6th. And I was thinking, oh, man, they just ratted out these dummies. Why does it take a month for the FBI to seek warrants or data or whatever on a key piece of evidence that they claim is key in a key investigation? A month before they even request it? Let me tell you what's really going on here. They're trying to bury this case and make it go away. They're trying to make Apple the boogeyman. Apple won't help us. Apple this. They're pointing the finger at Apple, and Apple's been behind the scenes helping them as much as they can or as much as they want to. It is Apple's perspective, prerogative, to do whatever they want within, as long as they're conforming to the guidelines of the telecom laws. And there are many, many telecom laws. These guys have every angle covered. Believe me, the feds. They're making Apple the bad guy, is what's happening here, because they want to sweep, the feds want to sweep this case under the rug because it's embarrassing to the Saudi government. And, I mean, they have dirt on this whole crew that was down there, child pornography on their PCs, on their phones. Some of them were basically terrorists. And they're going to say, oh, well, we'll just ask them to leave the country. This is the federal government. This is the swamp. Barr is now the boat captain in the swamp. He's in like his fan boat cruising around the swamp now, like in the in the bayou, pointing his finger at places like Apple, trying to make them the boogeyman in the case to make it so that the feds can slip this case under the rug and forget about it, and everybody down in Saudi Arabia and King Shmeen Filling, whatever his fucking name is, he's happy too, right? Because the esteemed leader, whoever the hell the Saudi king, prince king, fucking Shming Ding, whatever his name is. I don't being a wise ass today, but hey, it's my show. I can be a wise ass. This isn't fucking Chris Wallace, who pronounces every name perfectly and lies to you through his teeth in every sentence. This is the real deal. This is kind of like if you were talking to me in a bar or you're hanging out. This is me. You get me. I don't know everybody's perfect little name. I don't know everybody's perfect little title, and I don't particularly give a shit either way. Like, I think a lot of you probably subscribe to the same philosophy. We're Americans, so America first. But no serious case that's being investigated. It takes a month to request a warrant on a cell phone. If you're really worried about national security, those warrants are flying within 24 hours. If you're told not to do these things, if you're told to hold off on the second cell phone, on the warrants to Apple, it's a tell, like if you're playing poker, it's a tell that you're not serious about investigating the case. You want to bury it. These guys bury a lot of cases. And the FBI guys, a lot of the rank and file, still have to work the cases. And then their blood, sweat, and tears are ignored or put in some box or some file cabinet and stuffed away and it's forgotten about. And they're sitting around saying, hey, we had some good dirt on this guy, on these guys. You're just going to let them walk? Yeah, they're just going to let them fucking walk. Okay, I would probably rate that as a fairly strong opening 20, 25 minutes, whatever the hell it was. We got to work in some of this stuff. Apple, iTunes, Thomas Paine Podcast. That's where you can find us and subscribe and also rate us. It's also on Spotify now, as well as Google Podcasts, which is good. Our numbers, I guess, are fairly good from being told. I was doing an interview this weekend, live radio interview this weekend in Pennsylvania, a friend of mine's show. And another buddy of ours who told me, he's a Democrat, but he's a solid guy, he told me, hey, you should be. He told me this summer when we were up with our fraternity brothers drinking, he's in a frat of a lot of DEA guys that I'm friends with, but some DEA guys were in my frat and another frat. That frat was known for being a lot of stoners, so the irony is funny that these DEA guys went into these stoners went into the DEA, or alleged stoners went into the DEA, but I mean, they probably make the best agents, but I was doing this live radio show and it was a lot of fun. And I got to meet, he was doing his 100th show and I went up there. He said, will you be on for 15, 20 minutes? I said, sure. So we went up there and we were hanging out in a restaurant, having a couple beers. And then I went on, and afterwards I was really surprised. All these people were coming up to me. I love your site. I'm listening to your podcast. I follow you on Twitter. And I'm like, whoa, this is insane. I don't really consider myself as a even semi-famous guy, but so it was nice to meet folks. I signed some books for folks. One of my book, some copies of my book I had with me, and took some pictures with people that wanted to take pictures. I'm like, cool, you know? And so it was a good time. It's nice to get out and talk to real people. That's something these folks in D.C. and guys like Barr and these FBI guys, they live in a bubble. They think they could just say whatever they want and it's going to work. I mean, the stuff they're selling now is not working on Main Street. It's not selling. And I know a lot of folks are like, oh, Barr is good. Barr's a white hat. He's not. He's just not. There are no white hats down there. Guys are kidding yourselves, and we'll talk about Huber in a little bit. But let me finish with the plug. So go to FBIPajamas.com. That's where you can buy my book on Amazon, and that's really the best way to benefit this show and all the other stuff that we're doing. FBIPajamas.com, buy the book, How We Dismantle the FBI in Our Pajamas. At one point, it was a bestseller in terrorism category and also political science. We didn't put it in like this category of like, anthropology of third world countries. A lot of these guys say my book's a bestseller, but it's in these obscure categories that of course it would be a bestseller. We put our book in the heavyweight categories to see how they would be treated. And at one point, it was a bestseller, and those categories were pretty tough cookies against real heavyweights. And I was happy with that, but I'm not a guy here. I don't really care if it's a bestseller. It benefits our organization, True Pundit. It benefits the podcast. It benefits our work on Twitter, social media, and Facebook. So if you want to pick up a copy, benefits us all the more. Also, I think we're extending our offer from last week. If you do pick up a copy, send a screenshot of your order to promo@truepundit.com. And once you do that, you get a $50 gift certificate, gift card to libertyoutfitters.co. So you buy the book, $20, whatever it is now. Hard to say. They set the price. Amazon sets the price. That's another story. And you get $50 back. It's kind of hard to beat. Because we want to move these books out. We want the story to get out there. And it has been working. For some reason, Amazon only allows you to buy one book at a time. That's another story for another day. But those are the plugs. You find us on True Pundit, Thomas1774 Payne, True_Pundit on Twitter. You know all this stuff. But and rate us on on Apple Podcast. Thomas Paine Podcast, Mike Moore. FBIPajamas.com for the book. That's how you can benefit it. So the plugs are out of the way. And we're a little short on humor this episode because I'm kind of in a rowdy mood. But we're not short on Huber, unfortunately. We're not short on this clown. You know, somebody just sent me something across my screen while we're talking, and Trump actually just tweeted about this Apple thing. And incredibly, he says, paraphrasing, "We've cut Apple a lot of trade breaks, done Apple a lot of favors. They better start playing ball and give the Department of Justice what they want." Little news flash for the president. That's the same kind of power the DOJ used against him. Unlimited power where they get whatever they want. It's actually not up to Apple to quote-unquote play ball. The DOJ has enough power and enough tools to get what they want legally. They don't need to coerce more civil liberties from us as United States citizens, take more freedoms from us, and remove more of our privacy. And at the same time, it's foolish to rail on the crooked FBI and crooked FBI agents and crooked DOJ in one string of tweets and then be a cheerleader for them to get more unlimited power to use against American citizens and even people like the president. I think he's trying to be friends with these people. They don't want to be your friend. They want to remove you and throw you out of office. I don't know who's handling this guy, but man, he needs better people around him for sure. General Mike Flynn filed to have his plea agreement vacated. Filed a motion. His lawyer, Sidney Powell, filed a motion to have his plea agreement vacated. Nullified, forgotten. Now, it's up to Judge Sullivan in the district court, federal district court in D.C., to either agree to that or don't agree to it. Basically holds it in his hands. He's not under any obligation to vacate the plea agreement. In fact, I mean, he might do it. And I'd say it's about 50-50 chance. It's tough to get out of plea agreements once you sign your life away. You really do sign your life away. At least you sign your constitutional rights away. The Justice Department, you can guarantee, will fight this tooth and nail. This will be a battle royale behind the scenes. Justice already has him by the ball since he pled out, and they won't want to loosen that vice since they already have him, and he's scheduled to go to sentencing in 2 weeks. This is a last hour thing. Justice will not like it very much. I think it's a big gamble on Flynn's part, but if he does get it removed and he can get go back to square one, he still has to fight these people. The judge, if he vacates the plea, basically it's like a reset button. Flynn would get to start all over again. His problem is he starts at square one. Now, his lawyer could, since she is seasoned like my lawyer was, could probably spread this out 18 months and see what happens between then and now. But there's going to be legal filings going back and forth. He's going to have to pay for that representation. But at the same time, he gets to attack, go on offense for 18 months. And also he would be entitled to more work product that he was not entitled to since he requested said work product, said Brady material, after he had pled out. Justice Department made a contention that he was not eligible for all the material you normally would get during a trial preparation because he waived his constitutional rights by a plea agreement. He would get that material now and be able to build a case. But I have to tell you, these are not people you want to taunt and play with. They do not like being taunted and treated as cat toys. And he's in very dangerous, I think, area, but sometimes it's worth the gamble. From his perspective, it might be worth the gamble. I would fear, And I've done some trial consulting work since I challenged these guys and went up against these guys. I have been asked time to time and consulted on criminal cases, pending criminal cases, for defense attorneys and defense teams. I would personally be concerned that they could come back and charge him with something else. So that would be a concern of mine. I don't put anything past these people. They're petty. They're vindictive. They're vicious. And people would say, well, if General Flynn didn't do anything wrong, what does he have to worry about? These guys can cook up anything at any time and make it stick. All they need are a couple of rats to send them down the river. There's no shortage of rats in D.C., figuratively and literally. It's absolutely rat infested, both by the rodents and the people who are rats. I think it's a big gamble. Could pay off. One thing that it does have going for it is I'm always a subscriber of delay always helps the defendant. Delay, delay, delay. It usually helps the defendant. Also, perhaps his lawyer, Sidney Powell, figures, hey, if a guy like McCabe gets indicted in the next couple months for lying to the FBI or leaking material, then they can use that against the... I would think the case would almost be tossed out. It would be hard to sell to a jury if the guy who was running the FBI at the time and who was running the operation just got indicted for the same things that he cooked up against General Flynn or didn't cook up against General Flynn, however it plays out. So they might be rolling the dice for a delay. Some people say Trump could pardon him. That's not going to happen right away, at least. The danger again is this stuff dates back to 2016, 2017. The statute of limitations on that case and all the things surrounding it don't expire until 2021. If the DOJ can find any breadcrumbs to charge him with something else from that time, legitimate or not, they will, I think. If he's given a clean slate and Judge Sullivan allows him to vacate his plea deal, it's going to be interesting to watch, but I just wanted to add that since it was breaking. We've learned one thing. These guys in justice, FBI, Treasury, they don't like when you fight back. And they sure as shit don't like when you fight back in public. So this could be a very interesting roller coaster ride. I have to keep an eye on that for sure. We opened the show with J. Edgar Hoover, former and longtime director of the FBI, basically created the nightmare the FBI is, and talking about this, that, and the other thing. He made all these propaganda films about how great the FBI is. Now the equivalent of that is CBS with all these stupid Dick Wolf FBI shows that I always make fun of because they're so stupid and have nothing to do with reality. I mean, I've worked with these guys. They're not that slick. Anyway, some of them are. You have to understand the FBI. The real smart ones are marginalized. They don't want smart people at the top. They want dummies. So the smart agents that I get along with, because I think I have a lot in common with them, we see things on the same plateau. Those guys get passed over time and time again for promotions and great assignments. And the dummies and the corrupt folks are the ones that rise to the top. So when I say that a lot of these guys are dummies that are making the call, it's true. Anyway, does everybody out there know that I need to calm down? You know what's going to happen? I'm going to listen to this podcast in post-production. That's like a big fancy term. Basically, it means after you're done with it. What do you do with it? Some people like edit things and add sound effects and cut this and cut that. I just roll with it. It's just, yeah, okay. Put this together, put that together, and it's out the door. But I'm going to listen to this and be like, wow, I should have maybe not come off so strong. and maybe I'll take some of those F words out. I'm not doing it. I'm not taking it out because we'll get into that in a minute, but I'm kind of jumping around, but I'll tell you why I won't do it in a minute. Before that, Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, was taking horse betting tips on fixed horse races from the mob for like decades. And he amassed millions of dollars of private wealth working as the FBI director. I mean, this is the guy who the whole place is molded after. So what would happen is, and then like he would go to the racetrack and the media would be like, ooh, J. Edgar Hoover's at the racetrack. And he would go to like the $2 window and they say, J. Edgar Hoover exercising his right to bet on the horse races and the ponies. But he's at the $2 window with the rest of the common men. What a guy, J. Edgar Hoover. And they would do this, these shticks like before the movies and things like that, that they'd play these propaganda reels. Meanwhile, his buddy, his gay lover, was at another window plunking down thousands of dollars on rigged horse races and cleaning out racetracks on contests, quote-unquote contests, that the mob had rigged and tipped Hoover off about, you know, so he would leave them alone. It's like another protection racket. Guy, he had made millions of dollars on this scheme. Does everybody know that? Well, now you do. But anyway, what I was saying about post-production in this episode and cursing and being on a rant, I put a lot of thought into podcasting and what I wanted to do with it, what I wanted it to be. And I think the final analysis I decided was I just wanted it to be me. And using the experience I have, how I see things through a certain prism based on that experience, I see things differently. And through the years, I think the years and working really give you different perspective on things and how much I've changed over the last 30 years, my own political philosophies. I just wanted to be me. And I know there are people listening and building a readership is important, but for me, I just want this to be almost like a diary so my kids can go back and if they ever want to and say, what did my dad think about certain current events, certain trends? What did my dad think of the corruption in this country? Because it's important to get that stuff down because you take all these blows to your head playing ball growing up and you don't know how much longer you're going to be able to put a sentence together with everything that's going on. I mean, there's definitely some memory issues happening with me and I'm only 52, but we took a lot of blows to the head as kids. It's crazy. You know, now it's different. Thank God. There's the word out on the street is, you know, you can't take a blow to the head and go back into a game. I remember once telling my coach when I played football as a little kid and through college, I said to one coach, I got to come out for a little bit. He goes, what the hell's the matter with you? I said, everything I see is like yellow. I was out for like two or three plays. And he said, you're going to be seeing yellow when you're riding on the bus home. And we stuff you in the bathroom. Now get back on the fucking field. And I'm like, okay, coach. And you go out there and you bang heads for another hour. You don't know what your name is when you're all said and done. And 2 days later, you're back at practice. Or a day later, you're back at practice, depending on whether you play on a Saturday or Sunday. But it's crazy. Now, thank God that the word is out on concussions and things because we basically were playing with fire. My teammates and myself and the kids we grew up with, you know, you might even get your head banged pretty good playing football at recess and then have to go to practice the same night. We didn't know what was going on. Our dads would tell us, shut up, get back in there. My God, you're embarrassing me. I came to the game. So I want to get a lot of this stuff down on tape in case something happens and one day I wake up and, you know, my wife runs the microwave and I piss my pants and forget what my name is, that kind of thing. But, but we started talking about Huber, and I got a show we're doing with Jason Goodman tonight. We'll be doing a show. I say tonight, this will air after the show by the time I get it all patched up and put together. But he said, what's the topic? I said, FBI. We've talked about FBI protection racket before. I talked about this in some of the initial podcasts we did. Tonight's show on Patreon will deal with Department of Justice protection racket. And the information with Huber and the Clinton Foundation and what he was doing and what apparently he wasn't doing in that investigation has also just broken a couple days back. And, you know, things break at such a fast pace you forget about. It's still recent and still newsworthy, but it seems like it was a month ago, but it was only a couple days ago. And everybody, if you hear that phone ringing and buzzing, it's been crazy the last couple days. All the information's coming in because a lot of people are pissed off that work in the Fed apparatus, that their hard work is getting sidestepped, passed over, and the bad guys are getting away with a lot of crap, and especially the Clintons. So the phone is going off in the background. That's usually people, because that's a phone that not a lot of people have access to. So you can try to get that from Apple too, Barr. Good luck with that. See who's texting me. Good luck with that. Think I'm a little bit more slicker than some dope who came over from Saudi Arabia, decided to go crazy. I think I know telecom a little bit better than they do. So good luck trying to figure out who's talking to me and how they do it. But it's timely, too, because they're upset. A lot of the information we've gotten, it's an interesting domino effect. And one person said, I think it was in the last week, I find it hard to follow you because you jump around so much. That's because, I guess I can understand that, but that's because I'm thinking on the fly here. This is me. This isn't a script, because a lot of times when I talk, I think of other things that jolt into my memory or my mind that wouldn't necessarily happen if I was sitting down and writing something out or typing something out. So I tend to jump around and assume that folks can fill in the blanks if there are some blanks or there's some gaps that you can fill it in based on what I was just talking about and things like that. So I apologize if sometimes it's hard to follow, but I'm kind of brainstorming as I speak. And that's me. I think I'm pretty fast on my feet. And I do my best thinking when I'm talking about subjects, and other subjects shoot into my head and I want to throw them out there before I forget them. You know, I've had, like I said, when you get bopped on the head enough, something could just shoot into your head, and then if you don't write it down, and it's hard to write and talk at the same time when I'm trying to record this stuff and make sure everything's flowing, then I'll just throw that out there before I forget about it. Okay, so I just wanted to throw that out there. Huber. Okay, so I'm going to do this again. I'm going to do a little sidetrack again. There's like a strange domino effect whenever something happens in the news where these guys get away with more deceit and more corruption, like the Clintons. There's a back channel domino effect where the guys who put a lot of sweat equity into these cases, they get pissed and they say, well, not only that's going on, you wouldn't even believe what else is going on. And then they give you more dirt because they are secretly saying to themselves, what the hell's the point of keeping it a secret? Because they're probably they, meaning the feds, are probably going to cover this up too, so I might as well just talk about it. And a lot of that is happening. A lot of back channel intel is coming through. You hear the phone ringing a lot. That's kind of like the bat phone. People are tired of this. Not only us out here are tired of it, but the feds are tired of it too. A lot of the feds and former feds and intel guys and contractors, because nothing's happening. There are bad people running the show and nothing's happening to them. In fact, they're being rewarded. That's when you know corruption has gone way off the rails. Okay, that sidebar's done with. So we get back to this Huber situation, investigating the Clinton Foundation, and a lot of intel's coming out of that too. I found it strange and beyond ironic, and actually give the guy, oh, I don't even know what to say. Hannity was railing the day after the Huber stuff broke that he wasn't doing anything. They thought he was investigating the Clinton Foundation. It turns out he wasn't doing anything. Hannity was on his episode, was complaining about it. And he had his regular guests on are always pumping up one story or another that don't turn out to be squat. But, and I said to him, like in a tweet, I said, Hannity, you can't pump Huber up for months about TikTok, TikTok this, TikTok that. People are going to jail. And then when the guy shits the bed, pretend that it's some kind of an outrage. I mean, if Hannity's sources actually knew what the fuck they were talking about, they would know that Huber wasn't doing anything to begin with. You just have to follow what your sources tell you. If Hannity actually had people who had sources who said Huber was doing something, two things. Either one, their sources were lying to them, or two, their sources were like a guy at the barbershop, you know, who used to work at another place, but not the federal government, that kind of thing. For months, for years, I was told Huber wasn't doing anything. So we didn't cover it. We didn't hype it up saying somebody's going to jail, man. It's all these indictments, sealed indictments, and Huber's going to put people in jail. We never once said that, I don't think. In fact, I went and I did a search, and then we moved a story. It's called, a couple days ago, The Six Tweets That Foretold, 2 years ago, U.S. Attorney John Huber would tank the investigation of the Clintons. Talked about, I said, too bad folks did not see this coming. Whoops, wait, we did see this coming, as the tweets below detail. We dust off our crystal ball here at True Pundit. Then we go to, I wish I could say, folks, that I was a better person that doesn't like I Told You So. I fucking love I Told You So. I guess I'm a shallow guy. Shallow guy. I love when the entire right-wing media is on a narrative and getting clicks from their narrative and riding it like a wave, boogie boarding on this narrative for months and years, and then it crashes like a shore break. You're on this big wave and it's 15 feet from shore and you end up crashing neck and head first into the sand. And I'm sitting back saying, you guys were idiots to begin with. Yeah, you got clicks and you made money from this bullshit, but it was all lies. That's why I like the I Told You So game. Because our sources, I think, are the best in the business, and we've proven it time and time again. So let's go back to 19 months ago, I tweeted. January 15th, 2018. It's now 2020. Huber isn't going to prosecute Jack Squat. Look at his background. Troubling, to say the least. People need to wake up. You've been played. This is 2018, guys. 17 months ago, somebody was schooling me. This is from another Huber story. I think I probably said, Huber's a dope, wake up, something like that. And the person said, I have to disagree. His appointment of Huber was genius. He's talking about Sessions. We don't have any idea what's going on behind the scenes. Best to wait and see. No, it's not. Not when you know what's going on behind the scenes. It's best to tell people what's going on behind the scenes, even if they don't want to listen or even if they don't believe it. My response was, I don't have time to debate, but Huber is not going to do jack squat. He's deep state. Here's one from 7 months ago. Just 7 months ago, I'm losing my touch. We went from 2 years ago to 7 months. Oh, man, I must be losing my touch. I tweeted, trust Sessions, bullshit. Trust Mueller, bullshit. Trust Huber, bullshit. As we said it was, I don't get tired of being right, by the way. Probably 5 months ago, trust Sessions, trust Huber, trust Ray. Have you folks figured out yet that these Twitter... Let's start over again. Trust Sessions, trust Huber, trust Ray. Have you folks figured out yet that these Twitter dopes who pretend they have FBI, DOJ insider knowledge are complete scammers? That was 5 months ago. Then I threw another one in for, I mean, there's probably 10, 15 of these tweets. I picked six of just saying, guys, this Huber guy is... He's a deep state cement head. He's going to do what he's told to do. And we were right. And I talked to justice guys this week. They were fuming. They said this guy did nothing. While, by the way, this is important to note. While, by the way, even representing to other folks in justice that he was doing something, he was basically doing nothing. And to me, that means he was told to do nothing. So he was appointed by Sessions. Remember these trust Sessions idiots? My God. These guys. You think if they had any sense of dignity, they would have deleted their accounts after Sessions was tossed out like a rag doll. Fired. Disgraced. No, these dummies pivoted and said, it's part of some secret plan. He's really working behind the scenes to help Trump. No, what? And that this Huber guy was working to help Trump. What? What? Really? These guys will be, who's following these people? If you're following these people, you really need to reassess things, I believe. These guys are not only stupid, they're probably spewing disinformation on purpose and making a profit at it. But Sessions appointed this guy, okay? Said he was going to take a look at the Clinton Foundation. We know folks that are investigating the Clinton Foundation on the inside. There's going to be stories coming out about this. Like I said, the domino effect, the back channel domino effect is producing very strong intelligence. I'd say as soon as next week, you'll see probably a story I would consider has the potential to go viral. You never can tell. Coming out of that back channel intelligence about the Clinton Foundation, about Huber, about the FBI, about the DOJ, about Barr, about Huber. So Sessions is one thing. He points to the guy and maybe Sessions told him, hey, don't do anything or just, you know, just make it look good. The problem is that Barr comes in and by replacing Sessions takes over the investigation. Still nothing happens. What does that tell you? It tells you that Huber's a U.S. attorney in Utah. He's going to do what he's told to do, just like Durham is in Connecticut. If he's being told to tank the investigation, he's going to tank it. If he's being told to put his foot down, he's potentially going to put his foot down, although he's probably not the guy to put his foot down to begin with. you don't bring in an establishment guy with a track record of cooking cases for the deep state. You don't bring a guy like that in to somehow be an outlier and investigate something that's going to go against the grain of the deep state. It doesn't make any sense, right? And a lot of people said that. You wouldn't know that from watching Hannity and all these other people who built this guy up to be some kind of a god. Huber this, Huber that, trust Huber. Guys, we got a group here. We're a small group, but we have like a lot of experience in this stuff. You can't trust any of these people. It's very naive to even say that. Trust this guy, trust that guy. Based on what? This is like, I call it hope, H-O-P-E, hope porn. You're selling nonsense. Grow up. It's time to grow up and realize that the whole game is fixed. The whole game is rigged. That's the theme of this podcast. That's the theme that's going to be ongoing. That's the theme on True Pundit. It's all rigged. You're being played non-fucking stop. Long and short of it is, I told you folks about Huber. Told you folks about Sessions. And the list goes on and on. Stories we've broken. Federal stories, FBI, DOJ. At this point, it's hundreds. Way more than anybody else that's covering national security has produced. And still, we have to fight and claw our way on a daily basis to even get noticed. What does that tell you? It'll be no different with the podcast. It'll be the same thing. Told you about all these folks. It's not because I'm some kind of soothsayer, fortune teller. It's just because we have good intel. We have good experience. We know what we're doing. And now we're saying and seeing similar patterns with Barr. The question is it going to take 2 years for people to wise up to it? Or are you going to keep going along with people saying, oh, he's going to do this, he's going to do that, he's going to do this, when the track record doesn't support it? Start thinking outside the box, folks. Really understand how bad you're being played.